A nurse in West Virginia helps a teenage mother through the tough early days of parenting. A woman in Africa gets a small loan and starts a business that supports her family. These are just two of the people and organizations profiled in the new book, A Path Appears, by Nicholas Kristof and Cheryl Woodon. In their latest project, the husband and wife writing team challenge their readers to make a difference in the world, and they provide a pragmatic guide to a variety of opportunities to do just that. Nicholas Kristof and Cheryl Woodon join us now from New York. So good to have you with us.
Delighted to be with you.
A pleasure.
I have to say that I felt like, as I was reading this book, you guys seem to have a tremendous sense of optimism in the face of what feels like sometimes just insurmountable problems. And you acknowledge in your book that a lot of people end up feeling paralyzed in the face of the world's problems. Why don't you?
Well, I spent several decades covering these stories, and over that time, you really do see progress, I mean, especially internationally vis-a-vis poverty. I mean, when I first traveled around in Africa, for example, I was really struck by the blindness everywhere, river blindness, trachoma, so many middle-aged people who were unproductive and could not help. And these days, because of the work of Jimmy Carter on river blindness and trachoma and so many others, middle-aged young people are not going blind anymore.
Yeah.
I think it's important to remember, I mean, for centuries we've had extreme poverty, but now it is at the point where 20% of the world's population is in extreme poverty, and actually eradication of poverty is within sight.
Now, an example that you gave of a development project that seemed like a great idea and then turned out not to live up to its promise was the promotion of clean cook stoves. Tell us what happened there.
Well, it's well known that open cooking fires in much of the world cause tremendous problems. The smoke from them causes all kinds of health problems, particularly for women who are doing the cooking. They consume wood in the area. They leave women who go and collect that wood vulnerable to sexual assault. Kids drop out of school so they can collect the wood. So there are a whole range of problems with these open cook fires. And so scientists developed these enclosed clean cook stoves that burn much less fuel and are healthier. And then they actually subjected them to a careful randomized controlled trial, and it found out that while they were great in the lab, the villagers themselves didn't like them much, didn't use them, and they seemed to make no difference at all in the health of the women involved.
But I think it's also really important to note that it's okay to take risks. I mean, we now know that a certain kind of cook stove won't work. But if you never took that risk, you'll never know. And that's why we're not saying, wow, what a stupid idea, you never should have done that. We're actually saying, okay, we've taken a risk, we've tried this out, it doesn't work, let's either abandon it or we'll try and come up with a better stove and see if it works.
Something that occurred to me is that both the people who are creating programs or volunteering and those who are receiving the help, a lot of times they seem to be exceptional people to me. And I'm thinking specifically of Biddy Rose, a woman in Malawi who she used a small loan to help lift her family out of poverty. And even you note that she was especially shrewd and entrepreneurial. Can the average person really help? Can the average person really change their lives even with help?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, micro savings is one of the most effective programs around, and that's different from micro lending. So yes, Biddy Rose is an exceptional woman. She took the money and spent it very, very wisely. But on balance, micro savings can help many, many people. And one of the reasons micro savings works better than micro lending is that micro savings is you're using money that your friend gave you. So in other words, in a village, the women get together and they pool the money and they give it to one woman. But she's indebted to her best friends in the entire world. So if she lets them down, you know, her world is shattered. So that's why there's a little bit more commitment.
One other thing, a point that you make in discussing what people can do that I thought was interesting, I hadn't really thought of it, and that is a lot of people are very eager to start their own program. You know, everybody wants to be a social entrepreneur and start their own. High school kids are starting their own programs, and in some cases, that's a great idea. They're very effective. But you also say maybe sometimes don't start your own program. Get involved with something that's already there and is effective.
That's right. I mean, it's incredibly glamorous to start your own organization. But we have this flowering of thousands or millions of tiny organizations that never gain scale, and often after 5 years or so, they kind of disappear because the founder loses their initiative and enthusiasm. So look, we need startups founded in garages like Apple, and we also need large-scale interventions, and we also have to join existing enterprises and grow them.
I think the key is, first of all, if a college student or if someone is interested, they have to first look at what they're passionate about. They choose an area of the world that they care about, and then they choose a category of, you know, whether it's education or whether it's clean water that they care about. And then they can look at organizations within those areas. And I think they can find a match.
Pulitzer Prize-winning journalists Nicholas Kristof and Cheryl Wudun, their new book is A Path Appears. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks very much,
Lynn.
Lynn.